Pre-trial hearings are underway in the case of the man accused of masterminding the bombing of the USS Cole 14 years ago. Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri could receive the death penalty for charges including terrorism and the killing of 17 sailors. A new judge, Colonel Vance Spath, has just taken over the case at a military commission at Guantanamo Bay. In this week's Legal Loop, criminal defense attorney Brian Bouffard, a former Navy JAG lieutenant commander, takes us inside the world of military commissions.
They are military-based, but they're not strictly under the Uniform Code of Military Justice like, you know, a case of a service member getting in trouble would be.
Now, often in civil courts, the preparation of defense and, I guess, of prosecution is prepared to some degree on who they know the judge will be, because different judges have different – it's like different umpires, and they have different strike zones. So does this ability to reschedule themselves and so forth affect the way prosecutions and defenses are prepared in the military?
Not so much prepared. I don't know that I ever have prepared a case with a specific judge in mind. Obviously, every judge has his or her idiosyncrasies, and it behooves counsel to be familiar with those, you know, in all sorts of different arenas. But, you know, in this case, the concern that an onlooker might have is, well, you know, what if they're trying to, you know, reach a particular result and get somebody in there with a particular bent because the government wants a particular result in a case. The safeguard against that is the ability of both sides to conduct what's called voir dire or voir dire of a military judge. Same sort of questioning that you do to jurors. You want to question that judge, find out, you know, if they are fair-minded, if they have any biases that might affect the case. And, of course, you're relying with those judges just like you rely with jurors on their own honesty and forthrightness. I can certainly tell you, having had personal experience with Colonel Spath, he has absolutely an impeccable reputation. I don't think there's anything nefarious going on at all about Colonel Spath taking over.
But in a case where one side or the other suspects that a judge cannot fairly hear the case, what happens?
Well, you can, if you get to that point and you can establish that, or certainly establish a good faith basis for that, you can make a motion that the judge recuse himself and basically object to the judge hearing a particular case. And then there'd be a follow-on procedure to have the judge initially, you know, rule on himself, basically saying, yeah, I don't think there are grounds that I should recuse myself, so I'm going to deny that motion and remain on the case. It can sometimes become an issue on appeal. If there's a defense attempt to remove a judge, that attempt is denied, and then there's a conviction, the appellate courts are going to look at whether or not that judge should have fairly sat on that case.
So as a lawyer, first you have to appeal to a judge to recuse themselves. If they don't
right.
want to do that, which is understandable, then you've got to go even further up to the appeals court.
Right. And the thing to bear in mind there is, you know, most judges, you know, they don't want to get overturned either. And if there's a pretty good argument that a reasonable person would be concerned about the fairness of the trial, I have seen judges say, well, you know, I believe that I'm unbiased and I believe that I can be fair, but I can certainly see, you know, the argument. For example, you know, I was in the same fraternity as the convening authority or something like that, and we were friends, you know, that might be the kind of thing where just to, in an abundance of caution and to create the appearance of fairness, a judge might say, yeah, I'm going to step back and let another judge come in who doesn't have this baggage.
We're speaking with Brian Bouffard. He is a former Navy JAG and now a criminal defense attorney in both civil and military cases. And so the question now is, as we look ahead to the Cole trial and the Sheikh Mohammed trial, one, the 9/11 alleged mastermind, the other,
right,
the alleged bombers of the ship. It's taken, of course, nearly a decade in the one case and longer in the other. How long will the trials take now that they're about to convene?
You know, that's a great question. Military trials tend to be quicker than many civilian trials. I mean, it's a terrible example, but, you know, you look at the O.J. Simpson case that went on for, 10 months or something like that. These cases, even as significant and as media, you know, high profile as they are, I would think that the government can get its evidence on in fairly short order. So I think, you know, a lot of these cases might take a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then we've got a verdict.
Who benefits from the long wait?
You know, it's hard to say. Personally, I don't think that anybody should be arrested in the first place unless the government is moving smartly towards a trial. The government needs to get its evidence together and move forward. Otherwise, I think that there's serious unfairness that can result from just letting somebody languish in jail forever. In these cases, you know, on top of that, you've got the issue that they're not American citizens. They're not even being held technically in our country. And I think that gives rise to a lot of potential governmental shenanigans that I think most of us, you know, would never tolerate if we were talking about a U.S. citizen. So who does the delay help? I think it helps the government.
This is a military commission as opposed to a standard code of military justice trial such as a court-martial. Are there significant differences between the two?
There are some differences. One of the main differences is the defense is, you know, I'll use the word hamstrung to some extent. They don't get the amount of discovery of the government's case typically that you would see in a civilian trial or in a trial by court-martial. So that's one of the bigger concerns that we have with those.
And now the other differences between what's going to happen in this particular commission and what might have happened had it been a criminal civilian case trial,
right,
with media and so forth. What are the major differences between those two?
Right. It's just going to be a lot more rigid. There's going to be a lot more pretrial issues regarding whether or not the defense was properly given a full and fair ability to defend their client. You know, we can be in a position where the government can say, well, you know, we've got evidence that we're going to use against you, but we're not going to tell you what it is in advance. That's not fair play, and that's not the kind of thing that you would see in either a civilian court or in a military court martial.
And if you had to make a prediction as to when this whole thing would be resolved?
that would be a fool's game. It's been so long since these people have been captured and confined. You know, it may sound ridiculous, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're still having this conversation 5 years from now.
Is the appeals process in the military system as long as it is in the, well, in any sort of high-stakes criminal case?
Speaking on the court-martial side, the appellate process, I think, tends to move somewhat quicker. And the reason for that is we have comparatively fewer cases than a typical appeals court might have in Texas or California or some other state, or even in the federal system. In a court-martial, everyone has a first appeal automatic. If they're convicted, they're going to have an automatic appeal to their service court of criminal appeals. And then there are discretionary appeals. In other words, you can seek to appeal your judgment higher than that. First to the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, and then finally to the Supreme Court. They will agree to hear the case.
So we really could be hearing it in 5 years.
Oh, we really could. And I'm not, you know, frankly, as I sit here, I'm not real sure what the appellate pathway is for a commission's case.
They're writing the rules.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the other issues that has arisen with the commissions is the issue with if the death penalty is authorized, you know, what is going to be the death penalty process and the appellate process arising out of a commission. And, you know, as I sit here right now, I don't have a familiarity with that. But that's going to be something that's absolutely critical for them to work out.
And the military hasn't carried out a death penalty in decades, as far as I understand, maybe a century or so.
Well, no, it's been since the 60s. Private Bennett, an Army private, is the last person who was executed. And we have had people on death row since then. I want to say there are 8 to 10 folks on death row now. But in order to execute a death sentence, the president himself must sign off on that. And for political reasons, that hasn't happened since the 60s.
And should it ever happen, how does the military carry it out?
Been so long that I don't even know what their specific procedure would be. It would happen at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. But whether it's lethal injection, it's probably lethal injection, but it's just been so long that I would actually be surprised if the military ever executes another prisoner.